You know, I'm one of those dads that I thought I wouldn't get to be a dad. You know, there's times in my life where I thought I'd miss that opportunity, and I'm so grateful that I get to be a dad. You know, I love my girls. And then my son was the one who, you know, was saying, didn't you think of something else to say? And he said, Happy Father's Day. He'd already texted me this morning, so that's kind of cool getting a text from Iceland, but it's a dream. But as Pastor Nick mentioned, you know, it's Father's Day means different things to different people, and sometimes can be a difficult day. You know, some of you here, like he said, are thinking of your own shortcomings or maybe of your father's, and maybe what you wanted it to be or it wasn't, or maybe some of you are sitting and thinking about someday when you have kids and you want to be a dad. But it means something different. I know some of you didn't have that relationship, or maybe you have no relationship now, or maybe your dad is gone. And Pastor Nick and I spent some time talking about that today. He lost his dad this year. And my dad, I lost him a few years ago. He's alive still. He's got Alzheimer's. And he doesn't even talk. So for some of us, it could be a tough day that way. Maybe your dad is just busy. And he doesn't prioritize you. Maybe there was abuse. Maybe it's just not been the ideal relationship. Maybe like Carolyn Lindquist, she lost her dad, and we're celebrating his life this week. And Steve Mitchell passed away, and we're celebrating his life tomorrow. He'll be here at the church at 7 o'clock, and then the service at 7:30. And then I was thinking about Larry Branson today, too. He's ill, home ill today. I want you to pray for him, but his son's a missionary and gone. So for a lot of us, it's like that. You know, I was a youth pastor for many years, and there's times where you're talking with kids, and you can get them to be honest and open, and other times you can't. But one thing I learned a long time ago, if I'm driving the van, and there's a van full of kids, what they don't think about is they're all talking my direction. You know what I mean? They're all pointed right to me. And there's times where I'd be driving, and I can hear conversations. I'm not intending to just listen. It's just I can't help it. Remember one night in particular, it was late, and I don't remember what had happened. I don't remember if the youth service had been about fathers, and I don't even remember. All I remember is the conversation between the three right behind me. There's two guys and a girl. And what perked my ears up was when one of the guys said, I'm never going to be a dad. I thought, why would anybody say that? I mean, this guy's like 15. And the kid next to him said, me either. And the girl said, yeah, I don't even want to be a mom. And here's what they said. Because their dads had been so bad, they didn't want to do that to anybody else. And they felt like they were destined to repeat that cycle, and they didn't want to cause anybody that kind of pain that they had been living with. And something else you learn when you're driving the van, I can extend those conversations if I choose to, you know. So I just took a different route home, and we had a long conversation about the fact that they don't have to repeat that cycle. And it can end with them. And they know deep in their heart, based just on the ache they feel, they know what they want it to be. They know what it could be, what it should be. They know what it can be. And that's all within their care. What I encourage them to do is this. I encourage them to, let me skip these verses for just a second. I encourage them to celebrate the ideal because they know what it was. Celebrate it. Yeah, you didn't get it, but you can still celebrate it in others. And I encourage them that they can break the cycle. They can choose to do it. They can be the ones to choose that. And then I also encourage them to support and honor the dads around them. It was really fun dropping them off and seeing their faces just a little bit different. A couple of them are dads now. One's a dad, one's a mom. And they're great dads and moms. It's amazing that God can heal. And I appreciate Pastor Nick praying for you guys today. They're hurting that way. Something else I've gotten to experience is watching friends of mine who maybe were estranged from their fathers growing up and then had wonderful relationships as adults. You know, there's an old joke that says, "But you know, when you're a kid, you think your dad's a moron. And then by the time you have your own kids and you realize how smart your dad is, that now they think you're the moron." It's funny how that comes around. It kind of goes back and forth. Something I want you to never forget is that really God, as he starts to describe himself to us and he reveals himself to us in Scripture, one of the pictures he uses, one of the relationships he uses to illustrate that is that father-child relationship. He uses it for a good reason because it makes sense to us. And when our kids stumble and fall, especially when they're little, you know, as little kids, you watch them as they begin to walk. You remember those years? And you want to protect them from everything. And then you realize at some point they have to stumble and fall or they won't learn to walk. I mean, if you kept them from falling all the time, they would never walk. Remember one of my friends, his little child was starting to walk, and I was over there, and he was saying, "Hey, look, you know, he can walk." I said, "Oh, yeah, show me." And he picks him up, and the little dude starts going like this. I go, what's he doing with his hands up? Well, that's how we always walk with him, because they just held his hands up to walk. And they're like, "We hope he puts them down someday." And, you know, it's just funny how that happens. What I want to challenge us to do today, continuing our series about being generous, is to be a generous father. To be a generous father. One who gives and gives and gives. And it's not just about money. It's not. Of course, money matters. It's more about relationships. It's about the time and relationships. I heard this week. It cracked me up. It said that a father carries memories where his money used to be. And if you're going to use money, use it for that. Use it for something that invests in their life. And kids would rather have you than cash anyway. It's more about you. So let's look at some of the things they need. They need love and acceptance from us. That dad in the video, he played it just right. He played it just right. Look him in the eye. Tell him you love him and tell him a lot. I know that there's some men who didn't grow up that way, and generationally we didn't hear that. I know my own father, he talked about the fact that he never heard those words from his dad. In fact, he told me that he never had a conversation, an adult, like genuine conversation with his father until his father was on his deathbed. And that my dad was in the Navy, so he had to fly back. He got an emergency leave to fly and be with his dad at the end of his life. And that was, he said, the only time in his entire life he had a conversation with him, ever. But you don't have to have it that way. You can tell him. You can say those words to them, those words that will ring in their ears far longer than anything else. Special relationship between fathers and daughters and mothers and sons. Express that love for them. Don't let them ever doubt that you love them. I love this too about guidance. Scripture tells us to parent our kids. That's actually the definition of the word parent, means to guide. We're supposed to guide them. As many years a youth pastor, I remember times where a young person would show up in the church and I would call their house and maybe end up talking to their parent and, you know, just trying to get some information and say something like, "No, do you guys normally go to church?" And they're like, "No, I prefer to let my child choose what they want in life." Thinking, okay, good for me. Because I'm going to help them choose. I'm going to guide your kid now, which is what you should be doing. Guide your children. Scripture puts it like this: direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. They will not leave it. That verse is something that we've heard a lot of times. Another way to read that verse is to say, teach them to seek God's wisdom and his will for their natural abilities and talents. That actually, in the Hebrew, that word means, it says to their children implies that they have a natural bent, and you need to find out what that is and then guide them in that. That doesn't mean that they're always going to be interested in what you're interested in, but you can find interest in them because you love them and they're your kids. Some dads are teachers, some are doers, but either way, it's about parenting and guiding. And sometimes it needs to be more about principles and overriding things in their life that'll guide them forever. One thing I hope you teach your kids is this, that the world is just not all about them. Teach them that life is best lived when they give it away, and serving others is the highest thing we can do. And teach them to go last, and teach them they don't always have to be right. Teach them to look for and include everybody around them. I love that dad in the video too, because he did this really well. He did fun, didn't he? I like that. I want to be the chief memory maker in my house and have fun with the kids, whether it's playing tag or jumping in the pool with your clothes on or climbing trees or movie nights or making breakfast or whatever it is, building forts on the couch. whatever it is. It doesn't have to be expensive or elaborate. I mean, it's nice if you can, but it doesn't have to be. But it should be intentional. Choose to do that. Choose to be part of that. What you want to do is fill up your kids' emotional journal. And when they look back on all those memories, you're a big part of it. I have in my office a camera collection. And it's not really just because I'm interested in photography or like cameras. It has nothing really to do with that, although I like those things. What it is to me, they represent my grandfather, my mom's dad. Because every family event we were at, he was running around taking pictures. So much so that everybody say, my aunts and uncles, they'd say, "Dad, enough with the pictures." You know, my grandma would say, "Dennis," I'm named after him. They would say, he'd say, "Stop with the pictures." One of the things you can tell about that when you go back and look at family pictures, he's hardly in any of them because he was behind the camera every minute. So when I walk in my office every day, I see him. I love that memory. Girls are special. What you need to teach them is that their heart is more beautiful than her appearance. It needs to be about encouragement. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language, but everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Your daughter needs to hear that. It's your job to make sure she knows that it's about her character. We live in a world that's so sensualized. Seems like everything is about size zero. I don't even know what that means, honestly. I have no idea. But what I do know about, and I see it too often, is that she needs to know from you that it's not about showing as much skin as you can when you walk in a room, but it's being beautiful on the inside and out. And that whatever God's made her is beautiful. And boys, they need to hear from us that it's okay and that they're a man. You need to show them what it means to be a man, a real man. It can be all the tough stuff. I'm all about that. It's fine. But what it really means is that a man serves and a man cares and a man is the first to go in and the last to go out and works hardest. You need to teach them all that stuff. You need to teach them what it means to be a man and that they do measure up, that you like being around them, whatever that is. I think with that is that love is spelled T-I-M-E. For a lot of guys, we're busy, but our kids need our time. They need our presence. We need to be fully involved. You know, statistics, they come out all the time. The latest one I read that said that 94% of young people, it used to be they go to their friends. You know where they go now for advice? Someone guess. The internet. It's the same place you do. When I'm looking to see how to fix my brakes, I just put my car model in there and YouTube tells me exactly how to do it and what wrench I need. And our young people do the same thing, except when they have an involved parent. When you are there and you're present, then you become the one that influences. And that's our goal. You become that one. You need to show them that they're important by where you spend your time. You need to turn your phone off and focus on them. You need to be the one that's at their games and their practices and their concerts and whatever it is that they love. You need to be there. With that, you need to be patient and learn to ask for forgiveness from your child when you mess up. Some dads look at it like, "What? My kid needs to apologize to me," and they may. But there is nothing that will teach them more about humility and how to apologize and treat people right than you doing that when it's appropriate. Maybe you lost your temper. Maybe you said something that was out of character. Maybe you demeaned your wife in front of them, and you need to apologize to her and then apologize to them. And they will learn more from those few minutes than you can ever imagine, than you could ever, ever imagine. You need to be an example. You need to fight for your marriage. Fight for it at every turn. I heard this said that kids will follow your example, not your advice. You'll have influence on all of this. You need to date your wife. You need to prioritize that relationship. They need to know that your marriage and your wife is more important than they are. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? But that's the order it should be in. And they need to see that you value that. You know what that'll teach them? To value their wife someday. And it'll teach those girls to not be with a guy who doesn't value her enough. Because that's the kind of value and the standard that you set for them. You'll have a lot of impact on that. Scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That's a high standard. To love your wife in the way that Christ loved us and give your life up for her, That's a really, really high standard. I've heard it said this way, that the most important thing you can do for your kids, for their security, is to love their mother. Love their mother. But more important than anything else, dads, you need to show them Jesus. You need to show them Jesus. This is the most important thing. Above everything else, show them Jesus. In Deuteronomy, Moses wrote it like this. He said, "You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." I was at a conference years ago for fathers put on by the National Center for Fathering, and they gave us a test as fathers. They handed it out, and they gave us a test, and the test was about this scripture. And as I was reading it, I kept feeling so convicted. I mean, here I am a minister, and I feel like I'm not doing this well. You don't have to be a minister to teach your children the relationship with Christ. What you need to do is show it to them. How often do they see you in prayer? How often do they see you going to the Lord when you have problems? And when something happens in the home, what is your first response? Do you go to God? They need to learn to pray from you, not a Sunday school teacher. That's great. We do that. And we will continue to do that, and it's awesome. But they need to learn it from their dad. That's where they need to learn it. You need to be the one that teaches them what's important. You need to teach them that Christ is the most important thing in your life. And you'll demonstrate and illustrate that in so many ways. Number one, by the choices you make. Where you choose to be, and I'm preaching to the choir here, where you choose to be on a Sunday morning. Did you know that one of the most, the largest indicators on whether or not young people, when they're outside of the house, will go to church as an adult is whether their dad did? Sorry, moms. It's whether dad did. If you are here, that speaks something to them. How about your giving? Where you put your money? People say, you know, put your money where your mouth is. I'm saying when they see your value system based on where you spend your money, that will teach them. I learned this a long time ago. I can't make anybody become a Christian. Have you noticed that? You can't force it. That's not Christianity. Christianity is something you choose to follow. I've heard this said a million times too, that Christianity is one generation from extinction because there are no grandchildren. It is a personal relationship with Christ. I can't make my kids become Christians. I'll never forget driving across. When we lived in Liberty, I was driving across the river one day, and it just hit me so hard. And I was thinking about my daughter, Grace. Can't make her be a Christian. She was really young at the time. And I was just overwhelmed by the thought. I want her to be with all my heart, more than anything else. I have no greater goal. But I can't make it happen. But here's what I can do. I can set the table so that it's something she chooses. I can give her every opportunity to make that happen. I will do anything to have her be involved in the programs here at the church that grow her in a relationship to Christ. That's why I love our youth ministry and Pastor Jeremy and Kristen and what they're doing with our young people. I love that she leads worship, and I love that she's involved in all that. And I'll do everything I can to make that happen, because that helps her become a Christian. If it means sending her to camp or working to make sure she's on a missions trip, I will do whatever it takes because I want her involved in church and I want that relationship. I'll do everything I can to make that happen. I can do that. But most of all, I pray for her and I pray for Theo and I pray for Lily every day. And I pray first for their relationship with Christ and then all the other things that need to happen, because that is the deepest desire of my heart as their dad. I want you all to do this and do it generously. Be a generous father in all these things. Would you shut your eyes with me for a moment? Pastor Nick already prayed for those of us who are hurting today, either because you didn't have a dad, or your dad was not a great dad, or maybe your dad is gone or away for some reason. And I'm going to pray for you in a minute, but I'm going to also pray for every dad in here. Because my prayer for you is that you are the most generous and best dad ever. Because I know you want to be, and I want you to be. Let me just pray for all of us right now. Father God, I pray for everybody in this room today, for those who are hurting today, because Father's Day is a painful day for whatever reason. I just pray your comfort and peace in those hearts. Father, I pray for those today who maybe they're not even a dad yet, or maybe they are a dad and then they They haven't felt like they've measured up. But I pray, God, that you would bless them and help them change and break that cycle today. And I pray for all of these dads that you would help us to be the best dad ever. That little video clip we saw would be something that we could show someday in our mind's eye that would just show all the memories that we've built over these years. God, I pray for our kids today that they would come to know you as Savior and have the relationship with you that we have. That's our deepest, deepest desire. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're still seated here, I just want to encourage you. If there's any of you here who you're not a Christian. Maybe you came to church because someone invited you, or maybe you've been away from church and you just came to visit today. We want to welcome you, but more importantly, we want to welcome you back. And if you have any questions about that relationship with Christ, I want to invite you. I'll be in the gym. I've got a table out in there and just some heirlooms that have been handed down from family to family in my life. And I'd love to talk to you or any one of our pastors or any church leaders here. We want to do that with you. What I'd like to do right now is have you, everybody, stand. And I want to just welcome you to this Father's Day today. And I want to remind you of everything. Please go and thank these guys for bringing their car and congratulate them out at the car. We also have something out here. We've had it before. It's kind of fun. It's one of those big carnival games with a big hammer and you can hit it and ring the bell. So let's see if Dad's got what it takes to make that happen. And then in the gym, we'll have hot dogs and just take your time. We got chips in there. We got there's iced tea and water. And then take a look at all these collections. God bless you today. Have a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. Amen.